Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're so grateful, Lord, for another service to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we just commit thy word back to thee that we might see it in the present tense. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Okay. So this morning we were looking at the same word that we read others also have access to, but they see it differently than we do. And maybe I should put this on for you. Okay. But we see it differently than they see it differently than we do. We see it from the standpoint that it is a manifesting all around us, and we must see it that way for it to become a reality to us. Because if we do not see this word as a reality, then when the shout changes its season to the voice of the resurrection, we will not be aware, and it will pass right through us without our knowing it has taken place. Now, Brother Branham said that the rapture, it will be so natural that it will pass through you unless you're aware. So unless we are aware of what God is doing, it never, we just miss it, that's all. You know, how many remember listening to tapes, and Brother Branham said, now woman, stand on your feet, you know, claim your hearing, stand on your feet, zop, she missed it. And so the Holy Spirit went on to another person. So, you know, people miss the things that are given by God, just like they miss the proofs, yeah, because it's not in their church's manual, okay? In other words, he did things in this hour. He's done 79 of 84 things. And he did them. We see them. We see it manifested. But see, no one can see God, okay? But you can see God manifest himself. And God is the Word. So you see the Word manifest himself, okay? So as Brother Branham said, from the unveiling of God, he said, I trust that God will reveal this to you. And each time, if you who take the tapes and listen, in other words, tape listener, and I hope and trust that you have had a spiritual understanding of what that God has been trying to get over to the church without saying it right out. See, if a thing is sometimes we have to say things in such a way that it might thin down, what does that mean? Less people. It might bring some to go out, some to leave, and some to ponder over, but that's done purposely. It must be done that way. It must be done that way. You know, they came to Jesus, I read this morning, and they said, why do you speak in parables? He said, because it's given to you to know, but not to them to know. So so we see the word is written or said in such a way that those who are ordained to receive it will receive it, but those who are not ordained to receive it, that same word will just pass right over their head. They may ponder it, but just are not ordained to get it. In other words, they think about it, but it just doesn't register with them. Okay, so look, it will move from the shout, which is the message, into the voice of the resurrection, but unless you are aware, you will miss it. Just like Brother Branham said, there is an appearing and a coming, and they are two different words, and they mean two different things. And he said, the appearing is now, Christ is appearing, just as real as the days he walked the shores of Galilee, only in spirit form. Now, you see, there is a group in Africa, in Congo, and they translate the sermons of Brother Branham. And so I asked Billy Diabasinga to run a study of the French translations that were done by the Voice of God, by the brother in Switzerland, and by the brothers in Africa. And I said, you know, run a comparison and let me know. He said the one done by the brother in Switzerland were the most accurate, and the ones actually done in Africa were the worst. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, he said, There's a Greek, there's a, you know, the Greek word, well, Brother Branham said there's appearing and a coming. And in French, that would be apparition et venir. Venir meaning coming. But they translated as venez et venir. In other words, a coming before the coming. They got it wrong. Now they've got we're living in the millennium and everything else because 63 was the second coming. See, they just don't understand. It drives them off in their scripture. Now, Jesus himself spoke of his parousia, his presence, and Paul spoke of it, and Peter spoke of it, and John and James both spoke of it, and there have been 79 of the 84 signs and events they all said would take place, have already taken place, and most people have missed it. Now, honestly, how many people in the message even know that? Why? Because their preachers are not teaching it. Why? Why is that? Because they want to keep a crowd. You see, I don't care about a crowd. I care about the truth. You know, you either preach what he preached or don't even claim to be in the message. Okay? But they are too interested in Pentecost to heed the warnings given to us here that he is here. And your prophet said this message is a million miles beyond Pentecost, but will they believe it? Will they see it? No, they think that this is an extension of Pentecost, and yet this is a million miles. Now, it's 187,000 miles to the sun. Well, a million is like 5 point whatever times that far. In other words, it's like going to Jupiter or wherever it is. I mean, just going beyond this. Actually, Jupiter's in our solar system. So it's like going beyond our solar system into the infinity, just about. And a million miles beyond Pentecost is a million miles beyond Pentecost. This message has nothing to do with Pentecost. It has nothing to do with Pentecost. Nothing. All right? Now, the changeover to the voice will be just as natural and supernatural as the shout was, but people will miss it a million miles because they are not looking for it. I believe that is how the rapture of the bride will be, just as natural as the angel of the Lord came from his dimension into Brother Branham's dimension. Are you catching what I'm saying? Just as natural as the Old Testament saints coming into this dimension in the days of the first resurrection. Just as natural. They're there. Your eyes are open, you see them. Wow, 500 witnesses. When you will see the saints who've gone on before you, and you will see them just like 500 witnesses who saw the resurrection in the time of Jesus, but unless you are looking for it, it may pass you by as naturally as turning on a light before you enter a dark room. Now, you don't enter a dark room without turning on the light. And you certainly don't take a shot into your arm without knowing that it's germ warfare. And if it's germ warfare, let me tell you something. The prophet warned us about it. And the prophet said it's germ warfare. And if it's germ warfare, then he said it's a demon. Then you're taking a demon into your arm called mRNA, and you don't even know it. All right? Now, 1 Corinthians 3:13-12 says, "For now we see through glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known." Well, they say, well, what about yellow fever? Brother Branham had to go overseas a mission trip, and so he took a yellow fever shot. That was a shot. That was not demons. That was a shot. That was not full of mRNA, which changes your DNA. See, he was rendering to Caesar there, but you don't render to Caesar what is God's. He said, render to Caesar what is Caesar, but render to God what is God's. And we are held in the palm of his hand. We are God's, not Caesar's. He was talking about your taxes, people. Just your taxes. You owe your taxes, you pay your taxes. But you don't give them anything else. All right? His voice of the resurrection is coming, but just as his message was cloaked to the people and said in such a way as will make some people leave and others to ponder over, it will be just as hidden, or which means just as obscure, as his shout, which is the message, but just as real as his parousia is to others, and just as hidden to others as it is. As I said this morning, how many people know of the 80 or of the 79 things that he's taking place in this world? Not too many. And yet, how many have read the same scripture, you know, where they said, what will the time of your parousia be like? And they read it, well, what will your time of your coming be like? Well, that's not right. It's a wrong translation. Just look it up. What will be the time of your parousia? And Jesus gives us 50 different signs and events. Then Paul teaches it, and he gives us another 30 or so, and then Peter and John and James and whatever. So, you know, you've got all the, three of the apostles plus the fourth apostle, which was Paul, but they don't care because, you know, they're happy being full of church. But just as real as a parousia is to others, and just as hidden to others as it is. Now, he also said in his sermon from experiences, he said Jesus had always talked in such a way till the people couldn't understand him. They said, what does he mean? I don't know. He talked in parables. But this time he spoke plainly. Then said the disciples, now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee? By this we believe that thou comest forth from God. All right. Also in his sermon, he said, from Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When Jesus was going away, he taught the people in such a way they didn't understand it. They understood it by the letter. Now, in other words, they're still looking backwards at what was said and failing to recognize its manifestations around them. So we find in Matthew 13, verse 10 to 17, Jesus said, and that the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now, notice his words very carefully. It is hidden from them, but it is revealed to you. The same word given to both peoples. The word given is didomi, which means to receive. Some are meant or ordained to receive it, and others are not meant to receive it. All right? They are blocked from spiritually receiving what the others receive. And what is it that they are to receive? He said, knowing, which is gnosko, which means a knowledge that is based upon experientially knowing. You see, we could not say what the 79 things were unless we gnoskoed him, unless we experientially understood what it's all about. All right? Then Jesus tells us how that we will experientially know these things, and he is telling us, he says in verse 12, for whosoever hath, and the Greek word is echo, and it means the same Greek word as the English word echo. To him that is able to echo or give back what has been given to him, it shall be given. So there is that Greek word didomi again, and it means to receive. So you who are made to echo the word, you are the ones who can actually receive it and give it back to him. But those who are not made to echo that word and give it back to him, they will not receive it. And he shall have more abundance. Why? Because each time you echo it back to him, you receive it clearer than you echoed it in the first place. And that is true. With any echo, the first time it catches your attention, but the more it echoes, the more you catch that message that is echoing. But whosoever hath or echoes not from him shall be taken away, even which he thinks he has. In other words, he thinks he's echoing. Now, to just repeat is not an echo. An echo is present tense, but a repeat is past tense. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. We see all; it is all about understanding. What has been said in the present tense, not a repeat, but has been said, but an echo of what is being said. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. Why? For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, which is the prophets, they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which is sown in his heart. This is he that receives seed by the wayside. This is he that says the parousia is a bunch of nonsense. Brother Branham never used the word. Well, he used the word presence 4,000 times, 4,400. You see? But they don't understand it. They won't look it up. You know, I tell you what, if they were in school again, they'd probably flunk out because they just won't study. But this message, you should be studying this message. It is your life. It is your bread. All right? And he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, parousia, and by and by he's offended. In other words, look, you believe what the Bible says, and you're going to be mocked at, you're going to be made fun of, you're going to say, oh, they're preaching false doctrine and everything else, and you're telling the truth. But they just won't bother to read it. All right? He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also bears fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 30, some 60, etc. Now, in Hebrews 11:1, we are told that faith is the substance. I don't think we can all agree that since faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen, then if we can see the word becoming material all around us, it is no longer requires faith. It doesn't require faith to believe the parousia because you've seen 79 of the 84 events. For if faith is the substance of things hoped for, and Paul said in Romans 8:24-25, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man yet seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But we hope for that which we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Now, I trust that by now we will be in a position of passing beyond faith. When faith becomes to the place, to the revelation of Christ appearing, his parousia, and the order of his coming, and the rapture of the saints, and the gathering together unto him, and all those events which pertain to the end time revealing of himself, and the going home of the elect, because when we see that these things have already taken place, or that they are in the process of taking place, and we are able to not only see them take place, but we are also able to recognize what is happening and tie them back to the promise, which the seed that the Son of Man came sowing is a promise, okay? This then brings us to the place that we are no longer looking for them, but we are in the process of receiving them as they are coming to pass, thus making you and that part of the word one, and thus making you an integral part of these end time manifestations of Christ. Now, as I said, to be part of this manifested end time revelation of Jesus Christ does not make you him, as some people think that they are either all of him or a female counterpart of him, his alter ego, and I guess as if he needs one. In other words, there is no such a thing as a female Holy Ghost. Okay, but the real bride, the real elect lady in this hour becomes a part of this end time revelation of Christ in that she is the one to whom he is revealing himself. Now, I mentioned that there are three things which must happen in order for God to manifest himself or his word, seeing that he is the word. Number one, there must be the one who reveals himself. In other words, God. Number two, there must be the one in whom he reveals himself. That's your prophet. And number three, there must be the ones to whom he reveals himself, and that is us, okay? And so we see it takes all three parts to make up the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this is why they messed it up so badly back in the Alpha ministry of Christ to man. As you well remember, by what we are told by the Apostle Paul, the gospel writers themselves, and even Irenaeus and Brother Branham, that the people did not understand the Godhead. Because they did not understand what the scripture told them pertaining to how God would reveal himself, then when Jesus, his own son, was born and lived among them, they did not understand how he fit in with the Father's plan in this great revealing of the mighty God among us. And so Paul gave us the key when he explained the Jesus factor in Colossians 5:19, where he said, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. You see, they read it as God was Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Then what do you do with there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ? If God is on one hand, man is on the other hand, there had to be an intercessor in between, the man, Christ Jesus. All right? So, we see here that just as there had to be God revealing himself, yet we find he always uses a vessel. And as in the Alpha, where he used the body of his dear son, Jesus Christ, remember Romans 8:30, he is the eldest brother in a vast family of brothers. Remember when he's raised from the dead, he said, go tell my brethren that I must ascend unto my God and your God, my Father and your Father. Remember on the cross, he denied being God. He said, I am the Son of God. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, how can God totally forsake himself? How can God totally abandon himself? But the God who reveals, working through the one in whom he reveals, and it is this one in whom he reveals that is always so misunderstood, because the vessels never measured up to the expectations of the ones who are doing the viewing of this revealing. So John 1:11 says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Why? Because we read in Isaiah 53:2, when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And in 1 Corinthians 2:8, for had they known who he was, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And so then, when we see the significance of our being elected, and especially chosen by God himself, even before he framed the world, to become recipients of his glory, and therefore we see the great significance of the Holy Spirit, the great Father of his glory, which is his doxa, his opinions and values. As Jesus said in John 17, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe in me through their word, for they all may be one, even as Father art in me, and I in thee, that they all may be one in us, that the world may believe thou hast sent me. So if Jesus is one like your finger is one, like the apostolics say, then, well, how can he be? I mean, when he says here that you and I may be one, that they may be one with us, how are you going to become one now? Because if he is one, like your finger is one, then you have no, you know, I mean, God doesn't add another digit to his finger and make a four-digit finger. You know, it's just so, the people's minds are just whatever. But notice in verse 22, the answer is in verse 22. And the glory, the doxa, the opinions, the values, the judgments, which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So we are made one with God through his doxa, having the same mind that was in Christ, you see, having the same thoughts, same opinions, same values, okay? For God promised that he would come and restore this doxa to us and would return our hearts of our understanding of his word back to us. And he personally come down among us in this last hour with a shout and given us his doxa, and he is here for the purpose of giving us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of himself, which we see in Ephesians 1:17. All right, that spirit of wisdom and revelation might come in the knowledge of him. Now, we also see how important it is to receive this revelation and wisdom and knowledge, for only those who receive it can, in fact, receive first a change in the inner man, which is needed first. Before then, that we are to receive a body change that will allow for a rapture or a catching up, okay, catching away. Now, from the 70 weeks of Daniel, he said, I truly believe that the thing has done, thing was done, and at this last days is when God is going to reveal these secrets to the church. He hasn't done it before, and the reason he hasn't done it is to keep the church watching and praying at all time, not knowing when it was coming. But you remember in Daniel 12, he said, the wise shall understand in the last days. It has been given to him. He said the spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Ghost, bringing the church in and revealing what day that we're living in. Just the same as Gabriel come to Daniel, the Holy Spirit come to the church in the last days to reveal these great, deep, secret things. Do you understand now? So in Romans 12, then it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, we see in 2 Corinthians, for which cause we faint not, but through though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And we see where this renewing takes place in Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So we see how it is renewed in Colossians 3:10, and having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So there's your doxa playing out. It actually, you become part one with it, okay? And so the facts remain that there is a certain kind of knowledge that we must have in order to receive a change in our body. And as we see in Colossians 3:10, this knowledge is according to the knowledge of the one who created the inner man. And there is only one who can create, and that is God, the Creator himself. Now, I think that it's interesting to note that in everything God has for us, there's always a twin to that thing. This is called duality of Scripture or parallelism of Scripture. In Deuteronomy 28, it tells us that for every blessing, there is also a cursing. But it all depends on our approach with God's Word and whether we want to receive it or not. For in receiving it, we receive the blessing, but in rejecting his word, we receive the cursings of God. And since life is the fruit of the blessing, and the suffering and death are the fruit of the cursing, then why would anyone in their right mind want to reject what God has blessed? And if you will notice in Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed after knowledge, after the image of him that created him. The word after that is spoken here is a manner in which God will bring forth the image of our inner man. This word after is a word, Greek word kata, and is pronounced the same as the Japanese word kata. Okay? Now, in the Japanese culture, which is found in Buddhism, the kata is a form or an exercise that one does to make the harmony between the body and spirit perfect. It is also used to bring forth perfection of the inner man, but it has been utilized in the martial arts to teach discipline of the mind and body. Paul said, bodily exercise profiteth little, so we can see that to think like that, which the body does, to that which is edifying for the spirit, is actually a pagan practice itself. In other words, like when I was Catholic, we walked down the aisle, we genuflected, did the sign of the cross, and we all walked in, one after one. All right, you all did the same thing. You all performed a kata. You see, in Japanese martial arts, you know, you do a certain moves, and you know, and the flow of those moves and everything else, that's called a kata. All right, well, in paganism, it is doing this by ritual, doing the same thing over and over again until you get it, and then you think you're perfect. Well, you're not perfect, brother, sister. You're perfected by the blood, okay? For in considering the spirit and soul, bodily exercise has little good that it will produce. The only positive effect is that if your body is in good shape, your mind will stay focused better while you pray. But we are given even we're even given help in that matter. For Paul said in Romans 8 that when we know not what to pray, that the Holy Spirit will give us utterance and will make intercession on our behalf. So. You can see then that the true Christianity is full of grace all the way, whereas that which is not true Christianity must then have its source in paganism, and so then must lean to the flesh to satisfy its religious desires. Now, the people have become so desensitized to the truth that it doesn't matter to them any more than a man cannot tell the difference between what is a lie and what is true. In fact, if you are straight, you are considered to be weird. We have raised up a generation of pathological liars who wouldn't know the truth from error if their own life depended upon it. You know, they think there's 72 genders. And I'm here to tell you this morning that your life does not depend upon it. Your eternal life with God depends upon knowing the truth from the error. All right? But if you are liberal, it's okay to rewrite history after your own liking. And after all, liberalism springs forth from the Jesuit liberation theology anyway, and they have been trying to rewrite history for hundreds of years, so why not? That is why we are told by Jesus himself in John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth is what shall make you free. That is why we are told, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciple. And we know that the greatest lie is one that is 99% true. But if you continue in the truth, and you will eventually come to the full truth, and if you are Catholic, all you have to do is to begin to read your Bible, and you will see that most of what you believe is either not written in God's word, or nor is it confirmed in God's word, but is contrary. Most of what they do and teach is spoken of against in God's word. All right? Just read your Bible, and you'll come to the truth. Jesus said, search the scriptures, and to show and to search shows not only interest in the thing you are looking for, but it shows a desire to get down to the truth of the matter. But that is where so many people seem to come up short. They want the easy way out, which is to take the word of another instead of getting an answer from God himself through this holy book. And that holy book contains his word and every divine promise in which pertains unto life and life's issues. In 2 Peter 1:2-4 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now notice then, that through the knowledge of him he hath called us to glory, which is doxa, and virtue. Now, remember, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we are told that the people that are liberated from looking through the veil, they see face to face, and they are changed from glory to glory, from doxa to doxa, from your opinion to God's opinion, from your values to God's values, okay? Now, in Christ revealed in his own word, we hear Brother Ram say, not one prophet ever contradicted the other one. They was everyone perfect. And when we come to and did prophesy, that real prophet raised up and called him down, then it was made manifest. See. So the Bible is the word of God to all true believers. In other words, there was a man who thought he was hearing from God, and God was speaking to him, and God told him to go and say, thus saith the Lord, this will happen. And he went there and said, thus saith the Lord, this will happen, and it happened. He thought, well, I'm pretty sure of myself. So he's going home, and of course God tells him, he says, but when you go home, I don't want you to go that certain way. I want you to go home a different way. Well, he's getting ready to go home, and another prophet comes and says, thus saith the Lord, God changed his mind. You're supposed to go this way. So the guy, he listens to the man, and he gets eaten up by a lion. Well, I'm sorry, but you see, when God tells you to do something, you do it. All right, and so we see here that he is speaking of the words, whether true or false, and how they must actually manifest true or false. Because after all, if the word is a seed, it is a carrier of life. Then it is a carrier of either God life or other life. You see, and therefore, after it's sown, it must begin to bring forth a life in the image of what it was sown. So. In other words, in 1 Peter 1:23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, which is man's seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So if you want to live eternally, then there's one seed for you, and that is eternal. That's his word. But if you want to go along with your preacher and go off the word and, I mean, if you want to listen to another man instead of to the Word of God, then be my guest, but you know what? You're not going to make it, all right? You got temporary seed. And therefore, after it is sown, it must bring forth the life of the image of what was sown. So that is exactly what we read in Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You ever get together with a group of believers and you're sharing quotes? And I tell you what, the quotes come and they just change your day. And so your day gets set right. You know, instead of waiting till the evening time, we're going to do our quotes in the evening time. Well, that's okay, but some might be asleep by the time you send out your quotes. So it's best to do it in the morning because the quotes really do change who you are. It changes also what you do that day. And that's what he says in the scripture there. Now, but we also see this spoken of in John 3, 18 to 21. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, in other words, in a greater measure than light, because their deeds were evil. But everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither will come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Here you'll notice that we are looking at two different types of light. One that hates the light, and one that can't help coming to the light. And we find that the one who comes to it come because they have their source in it, and that which they manifest because of it, exactly what the others who have their source in it do as well. So, in other words, if you're of the light, you'll come to the light. But if you're not of the light, you'll come to whatever you are of, which is Satan himself. Okay? Because after all, birds of a feather will flock together. And that is not just an old saying, it's a truism. 1 Peter 2 and 23 says, 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So then those born of incorruptible seed must gather together with like seed. And those born of corruptible seed will flock together with corruptible seed as well. They can't help it. Their spirits call out to each other. And I could tell you about a story of a woman who was in the restaurant, and she said, Brother Bram, she said, you know, he sat down next to her, and she said, Brother Bram, that man over there, he keeps looking at me. Brother Bram said, well, let me just focus on him. So Brother Bram began to focus on him, and pretty soon the man started carving up his menu with his knife and started taking his napkin and sawing it up, and pretty soon he got up and left. And Brother Bram told her, he was lusting after you, and your spirit was calling out to him. So he said, I focused on him and drove that spirit away. You see, many times we do things we don't know why, but it's the devil. Well, that's all I'm going to say. All right? So the scripture says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, Brother Bram said, there's an appearing before the coming, at his appearing, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And we cannot help but manifest what we are. And it further tells us that we are, if we are of God, we will receive God's words, and we will flock together. All right? Now, just about a page left. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. Now, this word power is from the word exousia, and is the ability to make a right decision, to become what you were meant to become, and that is sons of God. But if we are not of God, we will no doubt have to leave those who are. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, but be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteous, and what communion hath light with darkness? Now in Ephesians 5:13, Paul said that it takes light to make everything manifest. Therefore, if there is no light, then there will be no we will never know what the seed really is. Then we should not be so surprised when we see people we might have known for years and years, and become different so quickly. I know quite a few people who had followed what they thought was the message for many years, and then when they finally were exposed as to what the message truly is, in other words, a doctrine, they hightailed it out of here right away. In fact, they went back in the world. They couldn't stand the pressure and had to get away from it. Yet it is the pressure that is essential to bringing forth a diamond out of a lump of ugly black coal. And that's what we are. All right? But no one really wants pressure, and yet without it, we do not stand a chance at becoming what the seed characteristics in us are ordained to be. The mighty oak once began as a little nut and an acorn, but when it was planted, it began to break out of its shell, and one day, as it popped up its little head above the ground, the winds began to blow. And in order to survive, it began to then stretch forth its roots, and the more the wind would blow, the greater its roots would reach out, and that is exactly what happened with us in our walk as well. The more we are challenged in our walk and belief in the truth, the more we begin to search the scriptures for us, for answers, and the more answers we find, the more Satan challenges our faith, and the wind, and the winds of doubt begin to blow, and then we dig deeper in the word for more answers, and thus the struggle goes, and yet as we grow more and more in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, we also grow more and more in grace and in peace. Now, we see in 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 2, grace and peace will be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. So the more knowledge of God you have, the more what? Grace and peace you'll receive. And so we see how that this manifestation of the word, attributes and characteristics of God are formed into us. As we read in 2 Peter 1 and 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In other words, God's very nature, his divine nature, it comes into us by his word. And as I said this morning, and get this morning's tape if you haven't heard it, you can read the same messages that they read. You can hear the same sermons that they hear, and it will be death to them. It will be 60 years old. It will be looking back at a time, and at a time when God was manifesting, and they see that manifestation, but they don't see it today. So eternal life, brother, sister, is eternal. In other words, he said, I am that I am. Then you are that you are. You are eternal beings. You should be looking every day at the word as it comes to pass. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. And we ask, Lord, that you would be with us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.